Congress, back from its Memorial Day recess, is taking an unorthodox approach to reopening its 2017 budget debates. At least in the House, not much looks normal, or even like it did 6 months ago. For more on what to expect, David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And David, you have outlined how Paul Ryan is taking an unorthodox approach to reopening budget talks. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is this, which is that usually it is a political rule of thumb that politicians take care of themselves before they take care of everybody else. But in this case, Paul Ryan has concluded that the best way to reopen the, to try and restart, jumpstart the budget process is for Congress, the House, to take up its own budget, the so-called legislative branch appropriations bill. Why he would do this is he hasn't quite explained yet, except to say that, but there are two possible reasons for this. One is that the kind of nettlesome social policy questions that slowed the budget or broke the budget process a couple of weeks ago, right before Memorial Day, it's very hard to use the legislative branch spending bill as kind of a petri dish for social spending. And also, the notion is that the legislative branch bill is a pretty modest bill, and they can sort of ram it through. The only way they can do that, though, is for Paul Ryan to bend, if not quite break, his promise to return regular order to the House. That's usually a code word for an open amendment process in the House. What Paul Ryan has decided to do and his leadership team is, if they're going to bring up this legislative branch bill, it will be under a more closed process where amendments will be limited. There can't be any surprise amendments. And he's going to try with sort of this relatively small bill to get it done.
It's almost as if he's saying what you hear on an airplane, which is, you know, put your own oxygen mask on before helping the children next to you.
That's a pretty good analogy. It's sort of counterintuitive, right? You're supposed to want to help the children first. It remains to be seen whether this will work. The House is pretty sharply divided. There are the Democrats pretty much oppose whatever the Republicans want to do on spending. They don't think the Republicans' priorities are in the right place, and they don't think the spending overall is generous enough. There are some Republicans who want to keep the ball moving at last year's total spending rate. You and I have discussed this before. There's a $30 billion gap between what the budget calls for this year and what's being spent last year, a $30 billion increase. Some conservative Republicans think that's too steep, which is about 3%. And then there are people on the left and the right, both conservative Republicans and liberal Democrats, who want to use these bills to make statements for the campaign and to shift policy ever so slightly. What was going on last week, or 2 weeks ago now, was an amendment that was adopted with 40 Republican votes that would essentially bar federal contractors from discriminating against their employees based on their gender identity or sexual orientation. That, as I say, that got 40 Republican votes, but it was enough to essentially poison the overall bill.
Well, of course, most of those types of discrimination are already illegal. So I guess the question is, why would they put that on when, as a company, you can't do that now?
I think that is an open to interpretation whether you can do that now. There is an executive order. The president made an executive order about 2 years ago now, saying that federal contractors couldn't do this. But what the sponsors of this amendment say is, you know, an executive order is only as good as the president who signed it. And if there's a different president, i.e. President Donald Trump, he might have a different idea. And that putting this language into the bill would actually codify it and make it part of the law.
So, in other words, it's both Democrats and Republicans who put in these social issue types of amendments get the other side riled up.
That's exactly right. Get the other side riled up or get the other side nervous. The 40 Republicans that voted for this language, some of them are known to be relatively supportive of the LGBT issues to civil rights for LGBT people. Others just felt like they represent suburbs where this is a popular position to support LGBT rights, and felt like as a matter of electoral reality they needed to support it even if their own politics, ideology, or views of morality are different.
We're speaking with David Hawkins, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And so this, what is Ryan's process that he's planning then for the main budget bills? to not have those kinds of amendments come in and derail, because that's what would happen under a standard regular order, as you said, of open amending.
That's right. So I think he is, I think he's trying to use this as a test case to see if how angry his own people will be and how angry the House generally will be about having a more closed process. He's trying to use really one of the smallest of the bills. It might even be the smallest of the 12 annual bills. It's worth about $3 billion. The 12 bills are all over the map in terms of their size and scope. And so if this one works, then I guess it's sort of a baby step, and he will conclude that a more closed process is the only way he can move things along. But I'm betting that by the time a bigger social policy bill for labor, health, and human services, or for housing and transportation, or for defense, and when any of those comes along, he will have a hard time holding this down. And I think the bottom line is that they might make a little bit more progress between now and the end of June on the appropriations bills, but the end game that I think we've all been anticipating for almost the entire year is still on course, which is they'll return in September with the budget, with the appropriations bills woefully bottled up. They will need to have some hand-wringing about whether to shut down the government or keep the government open, but I think that that'll be relatively quick. They will vote for a continuing resolution that keeps the government open until after the election, and then after the election, depending on the outcome, there will either be an effort to finish this up before the new president takes office, or a conclusion that they will just punt the whole thing until the new president takes office and let him or her decide how it should play out.
So this week in the House, though, at least, it's going to be funding the congressional branch. What about on the Senate?
In the Senate side, they have set aside the appropriations calendar briefly. They are going to start in earnest on the so-called NDAA, which is the acronym that stands for National Defense Authorization Act, or it's the defense budget bill. Just to remind myself and you that all of these things happen in two parts. There's the authorizing, which is setting of the policy, and then there's the appropriating, which is the allocating of the money to pay for the policy. So this is the authorization bill. It's often and always a magnet for contentious amendments as well, not the least of which this time will be the bill as it's currently written would require young women to register for the draft. Some conservative members, Ted Cruz taking the lead here, want to remove that language, say women shouldn't have to register for the draft. So that's just one of many amendments that will probably keep that defense authorization bill before the Senate, almost certainly this week and into next week.
Plus, John McCain has offered an amendment adding $17 billion in spending, and so that's going to trigger a debate over whether an equal amount of spending should happen in the non-defense side.
That is exactly right, and this sort of circles back to what we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, which is this internal Republican, it's not even a two-way internal Republican fight. There are several factions within the Republican Party, some saying we should go back to the spending we had this year, some saying we should increase spending only for defense, some saying if we're going to increase spending for defense, we should just go ahead and increase an equal amount for domestic, and the Republicans are far from on one page on this, which is yet again why it's almost certainly going to, this argument's going to last beyond the election.
Plus, they have to deal with Metro this week, just
yes,
getting to Capitol Hill.
I guess that's true. Yes, I haven't checked in to see just how long it's taking my colleagues to get to work this week.
Senior Roll Call Editor David Hawkins, as always, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.